You might be interested to know that when the Tuesday night prayer group started in this region, it was called From the Heart of the Father to the Heart of the Son. It was called Heart to Heart. Sometimes you may not comprehend what you get or why you get it, and what God's purpose is versus what man's ideas are. I want to honor you all to know that when you obey and you give out what you may not comprehend, and you take that step of faith, God is honored because of your heart. Understanding, for instance, what a rabbit hole in a tunnel underground and all that stuff, what it may mean, I don't think it's important to understand it at the moment. It's just a piece that God wants us to see or know. And we don't comprehend it until later on. There are sometimes situations that God will provide a word in season. They may not mean anything to you at the moment, but as God rebuilds what He wants and how He wants things done, that's the excitement of obedience. As I was searching the heart of the Lord for today, He had given me a word this morning, and I kind of, you know, put it on park. Okay, Lord, if that's really what you want me to talk about. And later on this afternoon, I cried out to Him again and said, Lord, I don't have anything yet. You know, if you've got something you want me to... And I heard very sweetly in my heart, you know, I already gave it to you this morning. Oh, okay. So if you'll come with me to James chapter 2. Yeah, James chapter 2. Yes. Yeah. Well, see, sometimes it's natural, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's both. Now, in James chapter 2, there's a lot of me. And I'd like to remind you that this is the Lord's brother. He calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, chapter 2, he speaks about his brothers. As believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Wow. Don't show favoritism. How many know we sometimes respond to looks, things we see on the exterior? We judge by what we see sometimes and how much of a failure that can be. This is one of the gifts I believe that this church has received, is not to judge, not to condemn by what we see or what we don't see, but to take people to love them as they are. I compliment you on that because I've seen your choices to obey. So he gives an example. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? How do we perceive an individual? By their position, how we lift them up if we see certain things, and how much that our Lord is really saying to us through his brother, don't do it. You know, when you do this, you injure the body. You injure the person, actually, who is being mistreated, and you're actually encouraging the wrong spirit who might be just flaunting their good stuff. Their pride is probably worn on the outside, and you, by giving it extra, are not helping the situation. You're downgrading the poor person, and by lifting up the one that is wealthy or advertising their wealth, how many know what I'm talking about? You're adding insult to injury. And I believe that it was happening in that church at that time, and I believe it still happens in the church today. There's a false worship that goes on. And a worship of positions, a worship of attire, a worship of all these other things that in themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. But it depends on the person and how and why they're wearing what they're wearing. Okay? I have nothing against nice clothes. I have nothing against fine jewelry. But the purpose of the heart is what you and I need to be cautious about. Even when you wear something very nice, be cautious. Don't over-advertise. Don't flaunt. Don't look at how much attention it's going to create for you, because you're going to encourage the wrong force, the wrong spirit. And you judge, okay, with evil thoughts. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? So this identifies something pretty sweet. He's letting us know that they were being exploited by the rich at that time. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Kind of neat, huh? Verse 7. Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? So they're slandering Jesus. They may have wealth, but in reality, they're using their wealth to down the Lord and his people. When the church of the Lord becomes so involved in the worldly situations, which they should be to a degree, but there's a fine line before you look at what they're up to. There's a balancing act that needs to be done, a discernment by the people in the church and churches. And here, James is trying to give them a little bit of an understanding. Watch out how you respond. Watch out for those who are actually mistreating the church. So, slander is one of the things I believe that the Lord was showing me in that vision that he released to you guys on Sunday. I got it on Saturday, and I was kind of dumbfounded to see that the body of Christ is in grave clothes, but yet, in reality, if you look at the reason why it's in grave clothes, why did they actually use grave clothes? Do you ever ask yourself why they put grave clothes on the dead bodies? What was the purpose of grave clothes to begin with? It was actually to hold the spices and all the stuff that they were actually using to hold the body. And these cloths were filled with all kinds of perfumes and things of that nature, very expensive at the time. And then they would soak them and put them around the body in hopes of preserving the body, I guess, so that they could visit without the stench being taking over. Now, if you realize that if you were a Jew 2,000 years ago, you would put the bones into that burial place, or the body in the burial place, and you would go back so many times, and at some point you would be pressed to go. I don't know what the numbers are, months, how many years, but at some point you would go in and take up all the bones, and you would put them in an ossuary. They would pick up the bones once everything was disintegrated. And they would actually mark whose body is inside. And I don't know the fullness of what that means, but I believe that, you know, when God was saying to me on Saturday that the body of Christ is like Lazarus, I couldn't see the head, all I could see was the body, that there is so much death overwhelming the body of Christ. And that spirit of death is holding it in bondage. It may smell pretty right now. All right? But it's not active yet. But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call the body of Christ forward. And I was so blessed yesterday because I got a telephone call from a lady, not in this state. And she had a marvelous vision. And she didn't understand the vision, but the minute she began, it was a dream. She saw the pulpit in a church, and she saw the entire body of believers out of their chairs, and she saw the three head ones in the church sitting on the front pew, or chairs, and the entire body was behind the pulpit. And I wanted to yell, "Yes!" Why? They weren't wearing grave clothes. They were active. They were giving out the word. They were giving out of themselves. They were giving out to the leadership. What's your future? Are you to wear those grave clothes forever? Is slander part of your problem? If it is, get rid of it. Ask the Lord to take it away. How many have little problems of judgmental attitudes? I mean, my mouth goes in the wrong direction, and I did it again, Lord. Okay? That is repentance, by the way. Recognizing you did it. That's the beginning of it. So the slander has to go. Verse 7. Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom we belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin. Oh! Now he's cutting it to the chase. He's saying, if you show favoritism, you sin, so you can't afford that. And are convicted by the law of as a lawbreaker. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Oh, man, what a word. Meaning, if you're looking at the person who is caught in adultery, criticizing the adulterer, and you, by the same token, robbed your neighbor, you're guilty of the whole package. So much for slander. So much for judgment. You're going to be guilty of the whole package yourself because you're guilty on one. That's how God looks at things. So it is very important that we keep on looking forward for the solution. Amen? All right, the solution. Verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So don't hate, don't be angry, don't stay angry. If you do not commit adultery, but do not commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged. There's your solution. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Therefore, the solution, mercy triumphs over judgment. I can tell you that when the Lord gave me that word many years ago, it took me quite a while before I finally was able to say I can digest this truth. Mercy triumphs over judgment. My pastor was in a hospital bed talking to me on the phone. I had received that word several times in maybe a week or two. Don't remember the fullness of the details. But I do remember this. I was in a dilemma. I was having a very difficult time understanding some choices that had been made. And here's Gino on the phone saying to me, Kim, I'm 70 years old, my body's not well, but I want you to remember that someday you're going to be 70. I said, well, that's good news. I'll make it for a few more years, right? But he says, someday you're going to be 70, and someday you're going to be in that same bed that I'm in. He said, I never want you to be ill, but you need to remember that you're going to be in tight places down the road. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, that could be me down the road. Where I'm having a hard time. People around me are forcing me to activity. Or choices that I don't want to do. But I need to give mercy. Instead of judgment. Will I be able to do it? Will I have your mercy in my heart to give it out? If I've only got judgment and criticalness, I will fail. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Father, I ask that you would release your mercy tonight into my heart and into their hearts. Because mercy will triumph over every judgmental thought if I give it a chance. It's up to me. If I'm having hurt, push me around, and I'm debating about how to retaliate, give me a heart. Mercy for it. That was the solution that gave the second chance and the third chance to King David. He cried out for mercy. And he cried out for favor. And mercy and favor kissed each other. That's the reason that Jesus came to the earth and he's called the Son of David. Jesus received favor, he received mercy, and he released it into the earth. Realize, when I am critical and when I am finding fault, all I'm doing is bringing destruction to myself. Now you say, well, what about the scripture that says, why don't you judge one another? Yes, there is a time to judge, but not to hold fast. If a person is about to head into a major catastrophe and you have already had discernment, that's the type of judgment that you can go to them and say, I've been down this road. I've hurt myself. I've been wounded because I didn't discern the circumstances. May I be of assistance and pray with you? See, you know that they're heading in the wrong direction. You're aware that they're going to be wounding, either themselves or others, because of their choice or maybe their lack of knowledge. What is the reason why you need to change them is by gently finding a solution for them so that they don't go into a deeper hole. Amen? So there is a time to be able to say, whoa, my child is heading towards the stove and the stove is boiling hot. Do I let that child continue or do I judge the circumstance? Do I look at the circumstance? Do I change the child before they get hurt? Yes. That's not the type of judgment that'll get you into trouble. But slander and backbiting will. And therefore, what I had to do with my brother on the phone, I said, I know that I know that I know that you're right. Will you pray with me that I will have an overflow of mercy? Because right now it's not in me. There's hurt, there's woundedness. There's an expectation that they should know better. They didn't know better. If they knew, if they had knowledge, if they had an awareness, as I had. But I wanted them to have something in them that they didn't have. And that was my fault. I was expecting them to do and see something they couldn't see or do, and it was my fault because it was me expecting them to have more inside of them than they had. They were blinded. Oh, you ever been blinded? No kidding. A blind person can't see. A deaf person can't hear. I'm getting a picture in my head that I've got to share with you. I don't know what the scripture is, but I know that it's King David. He has been hiding out. He has had his friends with him. And they're starving for food. And there's a woman named Abigail. And her husband is a stupid jerk. He's extremely wealthy, and he refuses the king and his troops who have been defending his land for a long time, protecting him, protecting his income and his animals and his harvest, and refuses to give. And Abigail takes it upon herself to say to the servants, while her husband's drunk partying, would you do us a favor? Load up the beasts of burden, whatever they were at the time. I don't remember if it's camels or donkeys or whatever. And this is what you're to do. And bring all this stuff that we have excess of and release it to the king and his army, his men. And the king receives it. And said, you came on time because I was about to destroy. You see, Abigail found a way to release the gift that was needed for the king. She found a solution in spite of a stupid man. A man that did not have the discernment that he should have had. Was she a control freak? Why? She was full of mercy. Amen? Her husband was full of what? Selfishness. Did she override the man who was supposed to be, by law, head over her? And I believe the scripture says he died within a very short period of time. Because God's judgment fell upon this man. And by the way, King David married her. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that if you find in your heart a lack of something, you can get it from him. He's resident within you. He's not going to have to reach out from heaven and start pouring down a flow of mercy. He's inside looking through the parts of you that you have lacking. I remember years ago, the Lord showed me that, like this container that we have right now on the table, when he first filled me with his presence and his love, he filled me to the top and I overflowed. I don't know how much mercy there's inside of me, but let's say there's only half a cup. But I know the one who has the fullness of the cup that can actually overflow me with more mercy than I've ever had before, because there's a never-ending supply. Look at your neighbor, say, he's got it all. And it's available for us. If we ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't. So, we need to ask. And that's what I prayed with my pastor on that phone. I don't want to reach 70 and be empty. Why was the crisis in front of me? So that I would cry out for mercy. Then I could give some out. Have you had a situation where you didn't get enough mercy? Maybe you didn't have an overflow and you're still angry? Yeah, come on. We all step into those places, don't we? Well, that boss should have known. Or this one should have known. Or they should have done. And they shouldn't. Couldn't. Whatever the reason, whatever was missing. Abigail had a man that didn't have much brains. Okay? No discernment. Please be aware. You may have people around you that have something lacking. But out of your abundance, did you hear me? Out of your abundance, you can fill in the blank. Yes. Yes.
Well, most of you know, we live in a neighborhood that labels 55 and older community. And all of the condos there are sold except for one. And we have now heard that this last one has been sold. Well, my husband got a call from one of our neighbors who actually lives in Colorado full-time, and he comes to visit the condo that he owns a couple of times a year. He got a call all the way from Colorado about a situation that was happening here. So Bob called him. Before Bob called him, another one of the neighbors called Bob and said, oh, I know what's going on. Well, long story short, apparently they have sold the last condo to a family that has a huge debt. Oh my goodness. It's like the end of the world is happening at La Fonte. So nowhere in anything that we have does it say that you can't have anyone younger than 55. It's just that one person in the family needs to be 55. So now there is a whole bunch of slander and accusations going on around this one young lady who's moving in there because somebody knows somebody that lives next door and blah, 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 and you know how it goes. So now they're pressuring Bob to call our attorney and find out how we can stop this.
Amen.
How can we judge somebody that hasn't even moved in yet that we don't even know? I mean, one sister doesn't even know.
Awesome.
So that is moving in. You know, I mean, he's not in this position for, you know, any random reason.
Yeah. I think that's a perfectly great example because we've all stepped into those places. We've all heard the complaints. I'm giving you the resolve. Overwhelm all this stuff. Would you take the neighbor's hand if you have one close by? Yeah, just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I really want to be filled with more mercy than ever before. And your favor as well. I need an abundance inside of me. An overflowing capacity. So that I can release it to those in need. And find solutions. Instead of additional problems. Amen? So if I focus on the solution and keep my eyes on Jesus, that overflow will not fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.